All right, we're obviously digging deeper on the preparation for the Giants. I think we had a good day of practice yesterday. Some of the younger guys, I think, had, in my opinion, some of their best practices of the year. You know, so we need to build on that. And so we're playing an outstanding football team on the road, and I know our guys are excited to go out there and compete and get a victory. So I'm sure you've got some questions, so I'll just open it up at this point.
I know you always like to talk about the injuries.
Go ahead.
Will Mesquite or Benjamin be out there today?
We'll have to see. You know, I think they're both dealing with hamstrings, so we'll just have to see if they can make it back out there.
Does that affect a speed guy like Benjamin more than it might other players?
It could. I don't know. I mean, it depends. Each guy handles their injuries differently. You know, there are some guys that are really fast that have to be perfect to play. Then there are other guys that can play with nagging things and be effective. So we'll just have to see.
Yeah, we were talking to Josh Cribbs yesterday, and I don't know if you're aware that he said his wife and some of his family members would like him to retire, that they're concerned about, you know, what happened the other night and things like that. I didn't know if you were aware of that or not. And could you speak to Josh's toughness and what he's dealing with?
Yeah, I was made aware of it, and I've said this before. I have a huge admiration for his toughness. Josh, a tough man, and Josh is a football player, all right? And he's been banged around quite a bit over his career, and he loves the game. And it's obvious, by the way, he just keeps getting back up and getting back out there. So I admire that, and I also know the feelings that families have for the people they love. So, you know, I can understand it as well.
Josh is one of the leaders on his team. He kind of talked about yesterday, despite getting knocked out, he was ready to get right up and get back in there, even though, thankfully, the protocols are in place to protect him as a person.
The protocols are in place, right?
But just what does that say to you as the coach and to the team when you have a guy who gets knocked out and he wants to be on that.
The most admired attribute for a person that plays our game is toughness. And I think that's, you know, we as coaches know that. Most of us that coached the game played the game, and we understand what it is to be tough. And we admire that in all our players. And when we bring guys here, we're looking for guys that are tough. You know, all the other attributes, of course, we talk about frequently, but that's one of the underlying traits that all players need to have.
Ordinarily, Josh Cooper would be doing scouting, I suppose, on the practice squad. Would he do a little bit more on your offense this week?
Yeah, he's a practice squad for us. So, you know, in order to get him up, we'd have to make a roster move. And then, you know, anything's possible. I would say this, don't read too much into my body language, all right? But I would say that, you know, he's practiced well, you know, and he would have to become active in order to play. And we'll just have to see.
But, I mean, has he been in the practice week? Is he just on scout team this week, or is he doing some of your stuff?
He's doing primarily practice squad stuff, yep.
Obviously, you said yesterday you applauded the choice of Ruben as your fourth captain, and you gave us that little story about working. He had talked in the preseason about wanting to become a little bit more of a leader on that defensive front. Have you seen it, and in what ways has that come out?
Well, I think he's exerted himself as a leader. It's important, though, that everybody be who they are. And within his personality, I've seen him extend himself. He's obviously a guy that leads by example because he's always where he's supposed to be, on time. He busts his tail, and that's something that's a one way to lead. And then there are other ways quietly within that confines of the defensive line room where he's helped bring some of these young players along. When you have young players that establish themselves within a group, you have to look around and say, okay, there's some older players here that are helping them when the coaches aren't watching. And so I would attribute some of the success, you know, that Wynn and Hughes have had to kind of a veteran presence in there. And, you know, Rubes, you know, has obviously extended himself.
I've seen him play the Giants once every 4 years. Did you go back to that 2008 tape when the Browns beat them and picked Eli three times to see what happened in that game?
No, I know the game that you're speaking of. We focus more on the current tape this year and last.
Pat, what makes Victor Cruz such a tough matchup?
Yeah, I think he's extremely quick and fast, you know, and you know, there's a lot of times when players are involved in tight coverage and they make plays, and he's kind of established himself as a playmaker for them. I think he's caught 32 balls already, and he's kind of a go-to guy for them. You know, they can play him outside. They play him in the slot. They move him around, and they try to get him the football, and I think that's, you know, you have a guy that's got talent and he's got confidence, and obviously Eli believes in him because he throws to him quite a bit.
Inside or out, and he seems like the perfect slot kind of guy.
He makes plays inside now.
You're ever comfortable scheming against the Giants, but because you know them so well from all your time in Philadelphia, does that make this week a little bit easier?
I don't know about easier. I think you feel like you know how they do business, but you got to watch the tape. And that's where we put in all our time. You actually watch all the tape of what they've done, or as much of it as you can, to try to either exploit matchups or run plays within your system that work, or call coverages and fronts against what they do. And I think that's where a lot of our time is spent. I don't know. I feel like, you know, I really didn't understand how they did business. But then when I work with Steve Spagnuolo in St. Louis, I got a little bit of a behind-the-scenes look of how they practice and what they do, and it's good stuff.
Are they about as well-balanced a team as there is in the league?
I don't know. They're an outstanding football team. I don't know if you would consider that balance. I remember there was a time when they did not throw the ball as much as they do now. But, you know, as I mentioned yesterday, that offense really runs through Eli. And I think they've found a way to be effective running the ball as well.
Does that franchise, in your mind, get enough credit? I mean, when you think of dynasties in the league, obviously the current ones, you think of New England. Pittsburgh's had a good run.
Sure.
Their Super Bowls have been a little bit more spread out. Different quarterbacks have won the Super Bowls. Where do you rate the Giants in just the organizations in the league right now?
Well, they're a top-tier admirable organization. You know, I know that firsthand, you know, after being out there. And again, I don't go into that disrespect thing. You know, they've found a way to win two Super Bowls here in a few years with the current regime. And so I sure admired that.
And on the same line, Coughlin, Smith almost every year, you know, the fans at some point want to get rid of him, but he's still there. Now you might say he's one of the best coaches in the league. Talk about that in terms of staying with the program and the success he's had.
Yeah, I think, you know, yesterday I talked about how he and Andy both are very resilient. And they've been there a long time. They've stayed the course, and they won a lot of games, you know, and two championships, of course, in New York. So, no, I admire that. I think we all have to, as coaches, we all endure criticism. Is that fair? You know, I think we all do. And that's why it's important that we try to keep our teams in the moment and we just keep pushing and we keep grinding. And you just really try to focus on your team in that next matchup. And that's how we do it. And I think that's the way you have to do it. And really, regardless of whether folks agree or not, we make all our decisions based on trying to win a game. And I think that's really the gist of it. And you know, I'm sure he's done that.
Is it a criticism that you get? Obviously, you've been 0-4, you get criticized. I mean, is that difficult for you to deal with?
No, because I believe in what I just told you. You just keep the guys going, and you try to give them information that's relevant, you know, to playing the next opponent. Much like we talked yesterday about the show that was on last night. A lot of that information I covered with the team prior to playing the Ravens a week ago. you know. And I don't talk about what I tell the players behind the scenes. But that's when the information that was talked about in last night's documentary was relevant. A little bit of a history lesson when Art Modell passed away. There was a little bit of it. So it's not like, you know, you put that information in the player's head in weeks that it's relevant. And, you know, so that's kind of how we do it.
And you did I mean, you took some criticism yesterday from some radio shows because of your answer to questions about that yesterday. I mean,
from the radio?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty constant. So, it doesn't, trust me, that doesn't bother me.
It came across as though Pat's not, doesn't care about the, not aware or doesn't care about the history of the state.
Well, I'm very well aware of it. You know, in 95, I worked for Nick Saban, who was here. I know a lot of the guys that were on that staff. I'm very well aware of what it means to lose your team. Actually, I came from an organization, the St. Louis Rams, whose team went to Arizona. So when the Cardinals came to play the Rams, it was just like the Ravens playing the Browns. So I'm not insensitive to it. You know, I believe that history is important. I believe in all that. I really do. But I think as a coach, what's important is, although I'm sensitive to all that, I get it. You know, I grew up in a town that their team hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. I get it. Really, I do. I understand it. But I think as the coach, your focus has to be keeping your players in the moment, keeping your players in the moment. And the moments we're dealing with right now is our preparation to play the Giants, you know? And I think that's important. I live here. I was told about all that before I got here. I've lived it, you know? I eat in Cleveland restaurants, you know? I don't know what to tell you other than the fact I get it. But I think it's important that as the head coach of this team, you keep the team's focus or keep their eye on the ball moving forward.
Talk about how do you approach last week was a very big stage, hostile environment, national television, followed only by a trip to visit the New York Giants, defending Super Bowl champions. The magnitude of these back-to-back situations, and you've just got a team full of really young guys. How do you do that?
Well, I think what you do is just, like I told you, you keep them focused on the process. You keep them focused. You know, I talked about how we have, you know, 100 guys out there when you count the coaches, the players, the support staff. If 100 people do one thing more right, one thing, then, you know, I think, we'll find a way to get a victory. And so that's what you do. That's what you talk about. Those are the things that you do as you go through this journey that's a season.
Pat, you talked about
the end of the seasons are independent of each other.
We got a couple. We got time. Where am I going to go?
I know the seasons are independent of each other last year versus this year, but the trend that's constant is the first and third quarter and the slow starts of the locker room. As a coach.
A trend you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, as a coach, what do you try to do? Because digging, I mean, that's kind of been the theme the first 4 weeks of the season, having to climb out of early holes in that. You've done that to get back in games. But as a coach, what do you do to try and get your players better prepared to come out of the locker room without getting behind?
Let's talk about slow starts for a moment. If the score ends up 0-0, okay, at the end of the first quarter, then it wasn't a slow start for our defense. You know what I'm saying? And, I can point to those things. And you'll see, and I think we talked about it. It'd probably be a fun thing to talk about on the offseason. It doesn't seem like there's a great deal of scoring going on in the first half of a lot of games, in my opinion. And so, guys are slugging it out, you know, getting a feel for things, and you're fighting and battling. Ideally, you want to jump way ahead of a team, and we get that. And so we look at all, you know, tweaking the warm-up to whatever, you know, doing things that will help us get a faster start, changing the way we call plays, all those things, I think. But to generalize it, I think what you want to do is you want to try to get ahead of the team, you know, and those are the things that we're trying to get done.
Pat, outside of of his football skills. What has made Craig Robertson so successful through this point? I mean, anything about his personality or his makeup or whatever. I mean, what do you see in him that's allowed him to jump to this kind of success?
Well, he's got skill and ability. He's got instincts. And I think that's a starting point. He kind of understands how to play his position. And then he works extremely hard with a bunch of coaches that are smart. And so I think that helps him. That helps him have success. Go ahead.
Quick as a follow-up. His mobility and field coverage, has that been kind of the key to his on-field success? Or is that what's made him successful so far?
No, he's established himself in coverage, you know, with his interceptions, of course. But he does a good job against the run as well.
You really believe in what you're doing, and you see spurts for this team. I mean, it all comes together the way you draw it up. But what would just a win, whether it's 3-2 or 50-49, do to kind of validate all that and give those guys some, you know, tangible reward for what the improvement they're making?
I think it's important. I think it's really important, and I think anytime you get the confidence that teams find a way to win, fight, battle, scratch, however you want to call it, find a way to win, and then the confidence going into the next week it's easier. It's easier. Not that you prepare any less hard, but the confidence that you did it then helps drive you into the next one, and so that it's very important.
Brandon Whedon said, it was like getting the monkey off his back to hit that long ball to Greg Little. But he said that, you know, we got to build off that, do it consistently to gain that respect from defenses.
Right.
What does that do for an offense as a whole once defenses respect that?
No, you have to. I think you need to be able to attack all parts of the field. And I think it's fair to say we've taken more shots this year. Which I believe in. I've always believed in it. You got to be able to stretch out the field some, but you got to be able to hit on them. And then, of course, it's just like winning a football game. Once you hit on a couple, then you become more confident in the connection between the quarterback and the receiver, the protection, and everything that goes into it.